The liberal Bible scholars have built whole theologies on the assumption that the four biblical gospels were written late, long past the memories of those who were with Jesus. The gospels then are no longer viewed as containing eyewitness testimony. I even heard about a church recently where in Sunday, in the church service, the minister said that in John's gospel, when Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but through me," that priest actually said that supposedly Jesus didn't say those words, but rather John put those words in the mouth of Jesus. To discuss this idea of late dating of the Gospels is conservative biblical scholar Dr. Mike Lacona of Houston Baptist Theological Seminary and the author of the tome, and it is a tome, it's a huge tome, The Resurrection of Jesus, A New Historiographical Approach. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Mike, welcome back to Vocal Point.
Thanks, Jerry. It's good to hear your voice again.
All right. So, Dr. Lacona, tell us, when were the four Gospels written approximately? Or I know there's different approaches and so forth, but let's go ahead and just make the case that there's credible evidence that they were written, you know, within a generation or two after the purported events they describe.
Well, the first thing we would do is we would look for a terminal date in which they could have been written.
What does that mean, terminal? You mean the end, the very last?
The very latest date in which they could be written.
All right.
And one of the things that, the main thing that scholars would do for this is they would look to see where the gospel, a particular gospel, may be quoted or alluded to. So if there is a quote from, let's say, the Gospel of Matthew, and it's quoted by, let's say, Papias or Justin Martyr. Justin Martyr writes in the year 150, around that time. So if he's quoting it, we know it couldn't have been written any later than 150. So you would do these things with the Gospels to find the latest date. You would also then look for the earliest possible date. Well, if Jesus died in the year 30 or 33, we really don't know which one.
Okay.
Let's just say 30. Then we would know at that point that the Gospels could not have been composed prior to the year 30 because Jesus' death is mentioned in the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
So you start off with this broad range and say, okay, from 30 to, let's just say, 150, or we know that Irenaeus around the year 170 talks about all four Gospels. So we know that the earliest they could have been written, it wouldn't have been earlier than 30, and it wouldn't have been later than 170. That's the first move you would make in dating the Gospels.
Okay, now this is obviously in a very, just taking this not by faith in the least. This is just a historical approach. Okay, now, why would you crunch the date much more? I mean, we know by the end of the first century, these four Gospels were written. Let's talk about the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. What evidence is there that they were written before A.D. 70, before?
Well, there are some decent arguments. There are a lot of them, and of course there are counter arguments. Most scholars, however, even skeptical ones, would agree that the Gospel of Mark was written somewhere between the years 65 and prior to the fall of Jerusalem in the year 70. I'm not sure there are arguments for that, but it is almost unanimous that it's no later than 70. In fact, it would have happened prior to 70, and it would have been sometime after 65.
And let me just stop you. Let me stop you right there. Mark's gospel is really, I mean, according to all accounts virtually, Mark's gospel is Peter's gospel. It is Peter's recalling of all these different events, and we know Peter was martyred by Nero. And Nero was deposed and committed suicide, or I believe it was suicide, in 68 A.D. Therefore, the Gospel of Mark would have had to have at least, you know, been collected before 68 A.D. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, at least the traditions. The majority of the early church tradition, you're correct, is that Mark got his information from Peter. And I would say also that the majority of scholars today, it would be a slight majority, but still a majority, more than 50% of all scholars who would specialize in this, would agree that they think the testimony in the early church tradition that Mark got his information from Peter. They're persuaded by that. So the majority of New Testament scholars today, be they conservative, moderate, or liberal, would agree that Mark got his information from Peter. What they debate over still would be when he wrote the gospel.
Okay.
You know, did he write it while Peter was alive or after Peter was dead?
Okay.
But they still place it between 65 and 70. Yeah.
I'm surprised. I would think that's a little late. That's a little... What would you think personally that when it was written? Maybe the 40s or 50s? Mark's
well, you'll gospel. Have an agnostic or an atheist. I'm not sure what he, which persuasion he is, either agnostic or atheist. His name's James Crossley over at the University of Sheffield. And his doctoral dissertation, he proposed a date of Mark in the 40s. So not everybody would agree with the mid to late 60s date.
Yeah.
And some even conservatives would place Mark earlier than that. I'm just saying what the, you know, the majority position is.
Sure.
It's still quite early by ancient standards when you're talking 35 to 40 years after the life of Jesus. You're still talking, you know, fairly early by ancient standards.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, if the, you know, here the events were either, as you said, Jesus died and rose from the dead, either in AD 30 or 33. By the way, Dr. Paul Meyer, whom I respect tremendously from Western Michigan University, he once wrote an excellent piece arguing for the AD 33 date, and the reason why had to do with Pontius Pilate's relationship with the Jews, and the reason that he acquiesced the way he did is because he was in such hot water with Caesar over some previous things that had happened and so forth. That's why he makes a strong, compelling argument for AD 33. And if that's the case, then that means Jesus died on April 3, AD 33, and rose from the dead on April 5, AD 33. But regardless of that, let's talk about Matthew. Matthew was an eyewitness because he was one of the 12 disciples. When do most scholars, liberal, conservative, moderate, where do they put Matthew in this as far as dating?
Well, that one's going to be on less certain ground. And in fact, of the four Gospels, let me just say this too. It is true that all four of the Gospels are anonymous. They don't, within the text of the Gospels, identify who the author is, and that the titles, Gospel according to Matthew, according to Mark, etc., may not have been on the originals. That is nothing of surprise, because much of ancient literature
is like
that way.
Yeah.
So, for example, the Plutarch's Lives. Plutarch, we have 50 biographies of his that have survived from antiquity. He's one of our main authors from antiquity. And of those 50 biographies, his name doesn't appear in a single one of them. But no one questions the authorship of Plutarch, and I would say that the evidence we have that Plutarch wrote those lives is less. It's weaker than we have for the evidence for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John penning the Gospels. Nevertheless, there are still arguments for and against, and the early church tradition is not what God's inspired word. The Bible is. So even nothing stands or falls on the traditional authorship of the Gospels. That said, some Gospels, when we look at the historical evidence, the evidence is stronger for the traditional authorship for some than it is for others. So as I mentioned, there's some decent evidence that Mark got his information from Peter, that Luke got his information from the eyewitnesses as he claimed in
such as
the first three verses of Luke's Gospel.
Right.
And the majority of scholars would say that Luke, and I'm getting this one from Craig Keener, who's written a massive commentary on the book of Acts, probably the largest ever written. He's an amazing scholar. Three of the four volumes are out now, and it's, you know, well over 3,000 pages is what we're up to right now.
Is he a believer?
Oh, yes.
The reason I ask, I mean, some of these Bible scholars are not believers in Jesus, and they do a great deal of damage, and they just, you know, toss out history. And in a sense, what they do is they apply 21st century criteria to first century documents. And as you pointed out, even with that example with Plutarch, you just can't do that and do justice to those first century documents.
I agree with you, Jerry.
And your point about Luke and Acts? Your point was?
My point, Kinger has surveyed the arguments and all the literature and scholars who have written on Luke, Acts over the years. Of course, because as your listeners already know, Acts is a sequel to Luke's gospel.
Right.
And Kinger contends that the majority of scholarship today across, you know, the theological spectrum agree that Luke got his information from eyewitnesses and he was a traveling companion of Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them will say it was Luke, but they do agree that he was an eyewitness. He knew the eyewitnesses,
right.
Got his information from the eyewitnesses, and actually traveled with Paul. So our traditional authorship for Mark, Luke, pretty strong. John, less strong. Matthew, even a little less strong.
Mm.
And there are some reasons for that. But you're correct that if the tradition about Matthew being the tax collector, if that is true, then I don't think we're looking at pretty early, you know, is what we're looking at, and pretty reliable testimony.
Yeah, and it's going back to Dr. Paul Meyer. He said also one time when we interviewed him for one of the D. James Kennedy Ministries programs, he said that Matthew, as a gospel writer, loved to show how Jesus was the Christ. He fulfilled biblical prophecy found in the Old Testament, you know, and he said, and such happened so that it might fulfill the prophecy. And he said when Jesus predicted the fall of Jerusalem and his second coming and so forth, but specifically the fall of Jerusalem and what did happen in A.D. 70, he said wild horses couldn't have prevented Matthew from saying, and this is just what Jesus said, if Matthew had written those words after the fall of Jerusalem in A.D. 70, which, in other words, he's saying it provides strong historical evidence these words were written before A.D. 70.
Mm, I think that's a decent argument. I do think that is a decent argument. And, of course, you know, some say, argue as well, the book of Acts ends with Paul in prison. And Luke doesn't mention the destruction of Jerusalem, which would have happened a few years after that.
Yeah, and mention, here's the point that Paul died as a martyr of Nero, as did Peter, and Nero was deposed by 68 A.D. In fact, I believe most scholars would put the death of Paul at 65 or 66. That means all those other things were written earlier, you know, like Luke, Acts, and so forth. And by the way, in one of Paul's letters, he quotes the Gospel of Luke as scripture, which means that it was already circulating around as scripture. Now, we only have about 2 minutes left. How about a comment about the fourth gospel, John? Because there, even early testimony may give the impression that it was written later than the other three gospels.
Yeah, John is difficult. As the conservative scholar N.T. Wright says, John is like his wife. He loves her, but he doesn't understand her. And the same thing with John. If you read the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, back-to-back and do it several times and then go to John, Jesus sounds different. And that's because John has taken Jesus' teachings and very much paraphrased them in his own words. That's why Jesus in John appears to say some things differently, not contradictory, but differently, much differently than he does in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because we're largely reading John's paraphrase of those teachings.
I don't know. I'm not sure I agree with you in the sense that here Jesus speaks in parables in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and in John you do have parabolic-type teaching. I am the door. I am the way. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am this. I am that. It's like parables. So
well, I agree. I would buy
you
that.
You weren't there. I wasn't there. I didn't hear
I know.
Jesus say these things or not say these things. But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just, you know, you find Jesus in Mark, like, for example, who are you? And he's not out there. Everything in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he's speaking very indirectly. They call it the messianic secret in Mark because he's so cryptic with the way he talks about things, and he's not clear about it at all until...
Until the time comes when he does finally reveal those things. Yeah. It's just a matter of timing.
In John, from the very beginning, he's out there talking publicly. I am the door. I am the shepherd. I'm the, light,
well,
I am
most
the vine, and things like that.
I would have to disagree with you, because most of the Gospel of John takes place in that last week of his life. And when he reveals himself as the Messiah to the woman at the well, that is to a Samaritan. That is not regular to a regular Jew. And therefore, it's kind of a different scenario. Mike, we are out of time. 10 seconds to close up here. Can we trust the Gospels?
Yes. Yes, I think they're historically reliable biographies of Jesus. And it's fun to study them.
RisenJesus.org for more information. Mike Lacona, everybody. Thank you so much. God bless.